Hello again, you're listening to the news at one. The reopening of schools at the end of last month has had little effect on the transmission of COVID-19, and the risks of allowing children who are close contacts of confirmed cases to remain in school are low, according to Philip Nolan, chair of the NPHET Epidemiological Modelling Group. In a series of tweets this week, Professor Nolan says a massive increase in testing of under 12s has detected only a modest number of additional cases. His comments follow a decision by the Minister for Health to allow asymptomatic children who are close contacts of a confirmed COVID case to return to the classroom from next Monday. Teacher unions have criticised the decision, saying more time is needed to assess the impact of the virus in schools. We can talk now to Philip Nolan. Very good afternoon to you, Professor Nolan. Welcome to the programme.
So, good afternoon, Brian.
The minister's decision is based on advice from NPHET, which you in turn advise. So perhaps you can explain to people why so soon into the school year you feel able to say, and I quote, that schools are not major contributors to or drivers of transmission of the virus.
Absolutely, Brian. And I know this is an anxious time for parents and teachers, and we're concerned to protect our children. So I think it's important that we understand the risks, but also that we don't exaggerate the risks. And the first thing I'd say is NPHET is known to be cautious. And given the high levels of disease in the community in late August and the fact that we had limited experience of Delta, we started with a very cautious approach. But the reality is, I think one thing that we need to appreciate is that the risk of transmission varies from setting to setting, and there's behavioural and environmental reasons for that. And it transpires that even with Delta, the risk is quite low in school settings. So typically, a case in a school might infect somewhere between 2 and 5% of its close contacts, whereas the same case in a household setting is typically infecting somewhere between 30 and 50% of its unvaccinated close contact. So the risks in the household and the risks in the school are completely different. And we knew that from our own evidence and the international evidence on the way in, but it was prudent to take 3 to 4 weeks into the school year to see what happened before we relaxed the policy.
Well, that perhaps is something that people, sorry to cut across you, that perhaps goes to the heart of this, the difficulty perhaps that some of us have in understanding that. The classroom, in relative terms then, is safe, but sharing a lift home perhaps from school with other children, going a sleepover, it's not. A close contact in those cases, they have to stay out of school. If the same child is a close contact of a family member, they're infected in the home. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that the risk of transmission from the case to the known contact is really quite low in schools. As I say, perhaps 1 in 20 or even 1 in 50 close contacts are going to be infected. And we know that most of the transmissions in children and in schools are occurring from symptomatic children. Whereas in the home, I think it's something that we've come to know about this virus. We know it spreads in different ways, but the vast majority of transmissions occur when people spend quite a bit of time quite close to each other. And that kind of thing happens much more in the home or in a residential setting than it does in the school setting. Right. And I think the experience of the last few weeks in particular has been that really the value of testing asymptomatic in-school contacts is low. You detect very few cases. And the risk of allowing those children to go to school is very low. Whereas in a household setting, if a child is exposed to this virus, it's much more likely that they will have become infected. So it's prudent when the exposure occurs in the household setting to restrict movements and seek a test. Right.
Clearly, sending children home has very negative consequences. But at the same time, we are, as you just used the phrase, a few weeks into the school year. This, the INTO, the Teachers Union, are saying really is premature. Let's just wait a little longer when we can perhaps have that bit more certainty about particularly the way the Delta variant behaves.
Well, I think I can understand that, but the view of NPHET is that we have sufficient time to evaluate the data. You know, we need to be careful about this discussion about the Delta variant. People talk about it being way more transmissible. It is more transmissible. It's around 50% more transmissible than the Alpha variant, and we've seen that kind of level of transmission. And if you think about it, in the school setting, in March, April, we were seeing maybe 2 to 3% of close contacts becoming infected. Now we're seeing 4 to 5% of close contacts becoming infected. It's still a very low number, so you're inflating a low risk by about 50%. So one of the reasons for our assurance is that what we would have expected to happen, low levels of transmission in classrooms, is happening, even with the Delta variant. We have enough data. Even looking at the data over the last week, it would appear that the incidence in 5 to 12-year-olds is now starting to decline again. So when we opened schools in March, we saw a brief increase in incidence because we were hypervigilant and testing lots of children. Just over the last few weeks, we have seen an increase in incidence, a fourfold increase in testing, and about a 40% increase in incidence. And it looks like that's already settling down. So from our perspective, the experience of the first 3 weeks is as predicted, and that gives us assurance that the risks of allowing asymptomatic children to continue their schooling are very low, and the benefits of uninterrupted schooling are quite significant.
Yeah, you mentioned the numbers of under 12s that have been tested, 1% of that entire population group, if you like, being tested every day.
Yes. Now, in one sense, that was a good thing to do for the first few weeks of term so that we could see exactly what was going on. But it's not a good use of testing resource at this point in time to be, as you say, testing 1% of the school-going population every day. Every 10 days you're going to 1/10 of the population and finding relatively few cases. It's much more important to focus on what will really prevent disease in schools, and that is supporting parents and families and guardians in keeping symptomatic children home and preventing the spread of the disease in that way.
Right, and that is very clearly the advice. If your child is showing symptoms of COVID-19, they should not be sent to school. And I think that Absolutely. Message has been certainly an attempt to drive that home. There is, though, perhaps a question here of public confidence in some of this modelling. Can people really trust these reassurances that you're giving us when some of your projections in relation to the pandemic back during the summer and towards the end of July were so wide of the mark? People remember the 2,000 deaths by the end of September, but even your optimistic scenario in terms certainly of fatalities were nowhere near that.
Well, that's not quite true. Let's start with the purpose of those models. The purpose of those models was to say if we opened up too early and too quickly in the course of the summer, we could hit some of those central or pessimistic scenarios. When it comes to cases, hospitalizations and admissions to ICU, fortunately, we have tracked the more optimistic end of those scenarios. And it is interesting, we have seen, and it's very welcome, fewer deaths than we expected. And that's very good news in the sense it seems that vaccines are even more protective against that worst possible outcome, fatality, than we anticipated that they were at the beginning of the vaccination program. In a way, it's but there's a certain amount of cognitive dissonance for Neffet in being accused of not being cautious enough, which is the concern that people have now. I really think we can reassure people that a very close examination of the data by us, and very importantly, close listening to the experience of public health colleagues on the ground who are investigating cases and outbreaks, telling us that it really is of minimal benefit to exclude asymptomatic children from school.
It's just that
to be tested.
I mentioned the projections back in June because they do underline the uncertainty. This is a very inexact, or certainly it's to some extent an inexact science. I mean, in August, just towards the end of August, you were talking about this wave, this current wave peaking around now, but infection numbers are much lower than they were even back then. We're making decisions now in relation to schools on data. You know, some people will look at this and say may or may not stand up.
I think a good way to look at that is it's appreciating that uncertainty. So in interpreting models and data, we're always conscious ourselves of the uncertainties within them. And it was that uncertainty that drove us to be cautious. It would have been very arrogant, frankly, of NPHET to say we are confident that there is no risk in schools and that we can carry on without the need to test asymptomatic contacts, for instance. It was much more prudent to say we are uncertain. We have a lot of evidence in favour of focusing on the symptomatic, but for the first 3 weeks of term, let's be cautious, see what the data shows. And the data shows us that testing generates very little additional information in terms of helping public health interrupt chains of transmission, and the exclusion of children from school is simply disproportionate so long as they're asymptomatic.
Just a final thought, do you think perhaps some of us are struggling with this return to or opening up society and return to some normality?
I think there's a level of anxiety amongst people that I know because there's still disease out there. So it's important that we significant levels of disease out there. So it's important that we protect ourselves by continuing to take the basic measures, by self-isolating as symptomatic, mask wearing, hand washing, and so on. But I do think we also need to be clear about the risks and to calibrate the risks and to realise that many of the activities of daily life, particularly for those of us who are vaccinated, we can resume with the risk remaining relatively low. And the thing to be careful about is prolonged close contact in crowded settings with people that you don't know and that you don't live with.
We'll leave it there. Professor Philip Nolan of NPHET, thanks for talking to us here on the programme.